That would be great. The first thing I do is I just face plant right into the lectern. I would do that too. You should be impressed that I've been drinking coffee all morning and I haven't spilled on my white shirt. I want to share that with you. My name is Daniel Martin. I am the campus ministry animator for the Pacific Mountain Regional Council, and sometimes, as you noted, for the Chinook Winds Regional Council, whenever the wind seems to blow that way. And my job, a lot of people often think I get to work on campuses, which I sadly don't. I have more of the back-end admin job, the vision casting, the new idea, planting new ministry kind of job. It's this mix of church planting and revitalization and discovering if there's new opportunities in new places. I animate ministry, bring new ministry to life. And the ministry in particular I work in is called Campus United, and that's the campus ministry that spans BC and Alberta, United Church Campus Ministry. And I'm a part of a larger team called the First Third Ministry Team, and that's, you're all familiar with this, but just in case you're not, that is the name for ministry to people in the first third of their life, which we're saying is like under 35-ish. So that includes children's and youth programming, family ministries, camping ministry, young adults, and campus ministry. So if you hear me say first third, that's what I mean. And a few months ago, a couple of us from the first third team here in the Pacific Mountain region flew out to Winnipeg for a gathering with other children's, youth, and young adult leaders from all of the 16 regions of the United Church across the country, as well as representatives from the National Church Office. We had lots of conversations around what's working well in your part of Canada, what's not working so well in your part of Canada. We had a deep look into this national strategic plan that I've noted is lovely presented on your screen. Worked through the calls to the church, and of course, the best part, you get to meet people in real life who you normally only see on the little Zoom chat in all of these meetings. It's amazing. And during one of our bonding times, one of our coffee runs in Winnipeg in the negative 18-degree weather, we got talking about some of our strongest memories of children's and youth ministry growing up. And so I've already mentioned this is a fairly diverse group from across all over Canada. And there's lots of experience with the church in this group. There are a large chunk of people who grew up in the United Church, but all different places. There are some who didn't grow up going to church at all. And then there were others, like myself, who came in from different denominations. There was lots of excitement and then lots of shock. And the shock was that the other people in the group didn't have a reference point for your particular church experience. So for example, a group from out east on this coffee walk started singing some United Church camp song that I had never heard in my life, and they are so passionate about it that it is the camp song, and then shocked that I had never heard it. And I'm like, okay, I didn't grow up in Halifax, so I don't know your camp song. It's lovely, but I have no reference point for it. Another person in the group talked about the theological confusion she had growing up because she was flip-flopping between a Presbyterian youth group and a Pentecostal youth group. And so she just had this disconnected experience as a youth growing up in the church. And when that was said, a bunch of the United Church people were like so shocked and like hurt that she had to experience. They're like, we're so sorry. She's like, it's fine. Figured it out now. And then I shared a bit about my story, and I mentioned something called Awanas, which I'm from California, so I know not everything happens the same in the States and Canada, but Awanas stands for Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed. And it is a weeknight program for kids where you play really, really competitive games at church, and then you memorize scripture to get prizes and little jewels and pins for how much you memorize. And some people are smiling at me, so you might know what this is. And you'd get this like little red vest, and it had a crown, and you'd put the little jewels in your crown. And I'm just describing this like it's normal, and everyone else in the group is like, that sounds horrifying. And I'm like, it's fine. I really liked it. There's just pure confusion at this point in the group and just curiosity about what everyone has experienced. And so after we got all of these stories out, we calmed down a bit and realized that despite our differences, there were a lot of common threads, a lot of things that we shared together. And one of them being that so many of our memories of children's, youth, and young adult ministry were memories about fun events or events that left us full of wonder and confusion. And the other memories, which shouldn't be new or radical, especially for a group of first third ministry leaders, but the memories were tied to people and to relationships and moments of deep meaning. There were all these fun, amazing events and programs, but they weren't life-changing on their own. It was the people who made them. It was the disciples of Jesus who discipled us. And we're first third leaders. We know this. We've read the studies. Both Fuller and Princeton Seminary, their youth institutes, in surveys to young adults who have kept their faith, they note that relationship is the top reason that young people stay in the church and keep their Christian faith. Fuller Seminary goes as far to say that for every young person who grows up in a church, they need 5 to 7 caring adults who are not their parents or guardians in their life, who regularly do life with them and journey with them on the Jesus way. And you know why this shouldn't have been surprising to us in our nostalgia-filled storytelling? It's because this is also what Jesus did, right? For every story of him preaching to a big crowd, there's another of a one-on-one encounter and a relationship. And in the gospel reading from John today, we see one of those relationships with Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus is being, he's a prominent religious leader and teacher who is probably not supposed to be talking to Jesus at this point, right? Hence the line that says he came late at night. Some translations even say like very, very late at night. It just wasn't 7 o'clock. This was like 11:30, midnight. He didn't want to be seen going to ask this particular rabbi a question. But he goes and he does it. And I immediately, even reading this, wondered, how did he even know Jesus was going to be up? Right? Like, there's not this routine of like staying up to catch the 11 p.m. news and then watching the rerun that comes on after that. So he maybe walked by and hoped that he could see maybe a glimmer of an oil lamp from Jesus' door or window. And I'm reading a bit into it just because, like, I know I've done that in the hopes that somebody would be up, right? Like, walked through the dorm hallway and kind of, like, looked under the door to see if the light was on because I needed to talk to somebody. I needed a friend who was awake. So I'm picturing Nicodemus doing that. Just kind of like, I'm just going to walk by. I'm going to see if there's a glow from this oil lamp. And he sees the glow, and he knocks. And Jesus is awake. And he opens the door, and Nicodemus sees the Redeemer of the universe by a warm, candlelit glow, inviting him in for a chat. Nicodemus knows full well that this man has authority from God, for Jesus is performing all of the signs and wonders that one does when they have God's blessing. And then they get into this mildly confusing, actually pretty confusing conversation about being born again, which I'll say is not where I would have gone if I were like getting to talk to Jesus late at night, but you know, it's their journey. Nicodemus in this conversation is pretty confused, as many of us would be, right? No, no, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Okay. I think, like, my mom is still recovering from the first time I was born. Like, there's still some, like, trauma from that. I don't think she wants to go through that again, especially as I'm, like, a full-grown adult now. But we're a few thousand years down the road here, and there's some consensus as to what this means for Christians. There's some disagreement. But I'm going to go with that being born again by the Spirit, or our constant formation into Christ's likeness, or perhaps as our dear John Wesley would have said, great inward change by the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about being born again. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus that the way to inherit eternal life is to follow him, to offer himself to being shaped and formed and molded by the Spirit, and then gives what is probably the most famous line in the Bible as justification for this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. So probably the first lines of Scripture I ever memorized and held true, that God did all of this and does all of this out of love, out of care for humanity. But Nicodemus in this story, he doesn't seem to quite get it. We don't get told how he leaves, but based on this interaction, it doesn't seem like there was more clarity when he left, more certainty as to who the heck this Jesus guy was. John didn't build up this scene in his gospel to have a big aha moment where it clicks for Nicodemus, and then he's just fully on board with this Jesus way, with this rabbi. But rather, it just kind of rolls into the next story, almost a letdown. And maybe John didn't want to tell us how it ended just yet. Because I like to think that this was step one for Nicodemus, that this encounter with Jesus sent him away full of mystery and wonder and confusion, and was one that he couldn't forget, one that perhaps haunted him, kept him up late at night. The next step for Nicodemus would be seeing the events of Holy Week. In John chapter 7, we see Nicodemus reminding the other religious leaders that a person must be heard before they are judged. Nicodemus was probably wondering why this guy who was doing all of these good and wonderful things, who had authority from God, was being put on trial and persecuted. The next encounter we see with Nicodemus is Nicodemus putting embalming spices on Jesus after he's died in John 19. And then after Jesus' resurrection, we see this revival and movement that sprung out of this good news. All of this is a very, very slow burn for Nicodemus, right? It's not instant. It's an encounter with Jesus, a moment when he's on trial, a moment after he's died, and then we don't quite know what happens. I like to think I know what happens. But this encounter with Jesus lured him in, invited him to hang around more and more, to be present in Jesus' suffering, to be there after he died, and then perhaps to encounter all of the hoopla and craziness that broke out after Jesus resurrected. What we get here in the Gospel of John is Jesus modeling to us once again how to be the best kind of human, how to answer your door late at night to someone who needs you, how to speak words of wisdom and truth without affronting the other, how to let others listen to what you're saying, but not force them into a response, but give them freedom and time. Jesus being, well, the king of asking more questions than he answered, leaving people in more mystery and wonder than when they came, and being willing to give it all for the sake of humanity. This is another story of Jesus seeing into someone's soul, meeting them where they are at, and then sending them away with something worthy of being talked about, which is what Campus United, which is a part of First Third, does or tries to do. Campus ministry is mostly outreach in 2023. We meet college students who don't know who we are as the United Church, don't know that we even exist as an institution, have no reference point for us. I've met students who either assume that all churches are hate-filled places that have rules and regulations and that are mean, or who have assumed that all churches are welcoming and affirming and are stunned to learn otherwise, or still can't connect the dots that this is a place for everyone to encounter Jesus, that we're actually welcoming and affirming. And I meet students who are looking for purpose and meaning in their life. We just presented a Zoom workshop around Gen Z, and the questions around life have shifted. Whereas my generation, millennials, often ask the question, how should we live? This current young generation is asking, why should I live? They're looking for purpose and meaning, which to me says they're looking for Jesus. And they're often not finding open doors with warm lights of welcome to invite them in, like Nicodemus did. So if students don't know, if young people don't know that we even exist as an institution, they're certainly not going to know to show up at 10:30 on a Sunday morning for a rousing discussion around meaning and purpose and who we're becoming in Christ. They're not going to know that you can come here for these sacred traditions and these encounters with the divine through Holy Communion and all of the amazing weird stuff that feeds our souls and roots us in these 2,000 years of Christian tradition. Campus United and First Third Ministry is at its core a ministry of warm welcome, opening the door to encounters with Jesus and then walking with young people in mystery and transformation after they encounter him. And the Pacific Mountain region has recognized that it's time for us to bring the door to young people. It's time for us to enter our next centennial as a united church leaning into our call of bold discipleship and daring justice and deep spirituality, and to do all of these things in public, to live into faithful public witness of the gospel, into the goodness and life and transformation that comes on this journey with Jesus. This past spring, Campus United at the University of Victoria gave away over 500 pounds of baked potato kits. We also passed out little recipe cards to how to make the baked potato in your oven and your microwave, and on the back, a prayer to pray over your potato dinner. The top questions we got from students: why are you doing this? Who are you? Is this really free? What's the catch? A couple of hundred students at the University of Victoria know, at minimum, that a bunch of local United Churches care enough to feed them. That door is one step closer for them. And there's a faith community, and it's called Inclusive Christians, that Campus United works with on campus, to be present with young people if they want to cross the threshold and come in. 2 weeks ago, Pamela Evans, who's the team lead for First Third, and I were hosting what's called the Community Connector Training, which brings young adults who we have hired to work in campus ministry at, and you're going to get the list, Langara College, Selkirk College, Simon Fraser University, the University of British Columbia, the University of Northern British Columbia, the University of Victoria, the University of Calgary, Southern Alberta Institute of Technology, and Mount Royal University. We have hired these young adults, and they start off their training for a week with campus ministers and regional staff for a week full of worship, leadership formation, planning, and community building. They're doing this all in preparation for their year of work. And it was a long week. It was at camp, so there were naturally mice and spiders and a broken refrigerator that stopped working halfway through the week at Camp Pringle. But it was a good week. It was a divine week. And we ended on Thursday evening by reading from one of the Gospels on the docks, on the pier up at Lake Shawnigan, which for me is a very sacred camp tradition. There's something that just comes alive when I read about Jesus, preferably the water stories, while basking in the beauty of a lake, maybe running my hands in the sand, smelling the mountain air. That's a sacred tradition for me. And so we invited our community connectors, our young adults, into this. We read from Luke the story of Jesus and the fishers of men, and we repeated the passage slowly and read through it multiple times, leaving room for luxurious silence, kind of a camping Lectio Divina. And at the end, we asked, what did you notice? What stands out? What is mysterious to you? What do you want to know more about? Let me tell you, these young people showed up, and less than half of them come from a Christian tradition. These aren't United Church kids who are born and raised. These are young people who are curious about the idea of connecting their students to their peers to faith community. So we asked them what stands out. And after spending that whole week building community together and learning and bonding, they were ready. And one student, who identifies as spiritual but not religious, said that she felt Jesus was calling her to deeper water, that maybe the way she'd been doing life wasn't quite working, and she was curious about what this Jesus way looked like. Another student was curious as to why the disciples left all of their stuff to follow Jesus. He couldn't imagine learning something so life-changing that he'd uproot his whole world to participate in it. And another student who has experienced various levels of spiritual trauma in their life felt safe enough to ask after all this what the word gospel meant and why we kept saying it, because she'd never heard the word before. At this retreat, this training, these young people experienced the warm light of Jesus on the docks. And this experience was funded partly by you all. So I say, as somebody who lived through this past week and lived with these young people, thank you. You've sponsored one of the 13 community connectors to be employed for a whole year, to grow together, to come together and work at Campus United with their campus ministers. You're funding a ministry that is living the good news of Jesus in radical new ways. You're funding a ministry that gives hope, and a ministry that's certainly not easy. You're supporting young people having these Nicodemus moments where they may walk away a little more confused than when they came, but leaving full of wonder and curiosity, curious around this whole Jesus thing. You're funding moments where young people are born again in the Spirit, encountering new life, where they're practicing lives of outflowing love for Jesus and radical care for humanity. This is the work that Campus United does. And it's ministry work that is held together with shoestring budgets. Some campus ministers across this region in Alberta work 10 hours a week because that's all the funding that we can find for them. I apply for grants, I fundraise, we look for donations, and these campus ministers are doing hard work, good work. And it's because campus ministry exists in this gray area of the United Church, and it's because of the restructure, and that's a conversation for later. You can always ask me about it. But it almost kind of like falls through the cracks. And so I'm so honored that you invited me here to share about it. I'm so honored to be able to thank you for donating to it and supporting this kind of ministry, because it's a huge part of our future as the church. Being present where people are at and showing them who Jesus is and can be for them. And this is the very ministry that Jesus himself does. This is the work that we're called to on the Jesus way of life. And it's messy, relational work of soul care and transformation. But it's a journey we go on together and care for humanity. And so, with deep gratitude for your support, I offer this. May you, Gilmore Park United Church, continue to encounter the warm light of our Savior. May your life be full of mystery and wonder from Jesus. And may you never stop being astonished about the Christ, always wanting to be invited deeper and deeper into this radical life with him.